Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right. We guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a playoff post-game edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3. The Fan. Stars dropped to 0-8 in game one situations. Whew. As they dropped to the Avs by the score of 5-1, a lot closer than the score appears. If you're listening to this podcast and you think to yourself and you didn't get to watch the game, that's why I always try to explain the action, because there are many of you that don't catch the game and then you tell me you listen to the podcast for the recap. This essentially was a 3-1 final. Avs with an empty net goal, and that made it 4-1, and then got another 5-on-5 goal. But at the beginning of this game, no Jason Robertson, no Gabriel Landeskog for the Avs. So both teams with some critical players missing. Obviously, the Avalanche have been dealing with the Landeskog injury for a number of years. Jason Robertson out of the lineup certainly kind of hurt tonight. As offensively, the Stars... Let me put it this way. I was explaining to producer Gregory Finley, I think the Stars actually played one of their better games than they've played in weeks. In fact, Pete DeBoer actually pointed that out on the postgame show, and I agree with him. So it wasn't as though the Stars played bad. But I will say this. Game one, at least, I feel as though it was an easier game played by the Avalanche than the Stars. In other words, felt as though the Stars had to work really hard for high quality chances. Minus a few minutes here and there, but I felt as though the Avalanche dominated regarding zone time and just overall play throughout the night. But I mean, it was really close. You know, it's just one of those things that it was a couple fluky bounces. So let's start at the beginning. Mention the players not playing. We knock it when it happens. So let's give credit when the opposite happens. Credit to TNT. Winnipeg and St. Louis ended. Sometimes there's a 20 to 25 minute kind of pause in the action so they can get the postgame / pregame in. They probably talked about 90 seconds to 2 minutes and then sent it to the Stars game. Stick tap to TNT and stick tap to the NHL for moving right along from Winnipeg, St. Louis on TNT and getting right into the action. First start for Mackenzie Blackwood, and he was the difference in the game. 48th postseason start by Jake Ottinger. On television, they mentioned 46th, but per the Stars, it's actually the 48th start for Ottinger. So a big difference as far as experience. And Sean Shapiro and I talked about that on Friday Spits and Suds, if you want to go back and listen. And Sean brought up a good point that when was Jake Ottinger at his best in the playoffs? And it actually was when he had no playoff experience, minus the times that he came in the Stanley Cup final in the bubble, kind of some mop-up action. But Jake Ottinger was his best as a rookie against the Calgary Flames. So being green sometimes can have its benefits, and Blackwood certainly saved the game for the Avalanche tonight. It was actually one of the few games, if you go back to regular season, where the Stars tied as far as shots on goal. So I believe each team had 24 shots on the night. So getting into the game action, early opportunity for the Avs. Kelly on a rebound, really nice save by Ottinger. Let's talk about the goaltender. I thought Jake Ottinger overall played fine. Blackwood clearly was the better goalie because I'm telling you, Blackwood was the number one star. He was the best player on the ice tonight. MacKinnon with a close second, obviously. So Robertson also had a good look. Blackwood with an early solid save. So both goaltenders looked good early. Stars get in trouble, going down two men. Mason Marchment and Wyatt Johnston go into the sin bin. Avs had a 5-on-3 for a minute 24. Let's give credit to Sam Steele for some really good penalty killing. Esa Lindell as well. Those two, along with a few other Stars, kill the entire penalty. And then the Stars, with some momentum, go on the power play. Nice saves by Blackwood on Duchesne and Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn, unfortunately, cannot lift the puck. So really nice saves by Blackwood. On that first power play, Stars get 6 shots on net on their first power play, but can't capitalize. But that kind of shows at times they did put a lot of pressure on Mackenzie Blackwood. Wanted to point this out because I'm going to talk about the timeout in which the Stars scored, but do you guys realize that Stars coach Pete DeBoer has been in the conference finals in 5 of the last 6 years, San Jose, Vegas, and Dallas? I mean, that is pretty unreal, the success of Pete DeBoer. And I know you can say, but he doesn't get us to that quote unquote promised land. But that is just a stat that they mentioned. And I was like, whoa, San Jose, Vegas, and Dallas. You could say what you want about Pete DeBoer. In fact, I'm going to flip ahead to the Stars' first goal because credit Pete DeBoer. Credit the coaching staff. Because the power play looked pretty good all night. So on the power play in the third period, Pete DeBoer calls a timeout to reset things. What that does is it allows power play one to continue, almost double shift of sorts, with Harley, Hintz, Duchesne, Johnston, Rantanen. Mackenzie Blackwood gets his stick caught in the net, but the Stars actually caused that by a lot of activity in front of the net. We talked on Friday. We needed the Stars to get in front of Blackwood, and they did at times. Roope Hintz with the high direct. So a power play goal. So I know that the coach is easily pointed at as far as we need to make a change if the Stars, let's say, exit in round one. But we can't say that and not remember a timeout by Pete DeBoer in the third period, an early, early timeout. Lots of time left in this game, and it was a critical moment, and it was a very, very tactical and smart play by Pete DeBoer, who personally, I'm not going to get on his coaching this year. because I think with the injuries that he's had to Haskinen, to Sagan, probably a podcast in itself. But to me, Pete DeBoer should be back next year for the Stars. So Arturi Lehkonen in the second period with probably the weirdest goal of the year. He shoots and on his follow-up, he's twisted up with Maverick Bork. Maverick Bork with solid defense on that play. He unintentionally kicks it as he's falling down, goes up in the air past Ottinger. They reviewed it 1-0 Avs. And then toward the end of the second period, 4:40 to be exact, Roope Hintz clips Nathan MacKinnon. MacKinnon bleeding from the zone. You have to be in control of your stick at all times. It happens in hockey, though. They review it, confirm it's a 4-minute double minor for a high stick. MacKinnon drew the penalty. MacKinnon scores the goal. Another kind of fluky goal, similar to like a changeup in baseball, where the shot looks hard, but then isn't that hard and kind of knuckled its way past Ottinger, deflects off of Ilya Lyubushkin. Anytime a puck deflects, can't really blame the goaltender on that. So it's 2-0. And prior to being 2-0, the Stars had some good chances. But once again, Blackwood was there. Right after the Stars made it 2-1 with that power play in the third period, momentum, pressure, it was happening. Great scoring opportunity. Mason Marchment denied by Blackwood. I mean, that goal was going in and it was like the puck had one side of the Velcro and Blackwood's armpit had the other. How did that puck not go underneath the arm? Terrific save by Blackwood. And then a very short time later, the Stars, after actually playing pretty good defense throughout the night, a lot of firepower on this Avs team, led up two kind of fluky goals. This one happens after a breakout from the Avs zone. This is against the third D pairing, Bischel, Petrovic, and it happens on Petrovic's side. Logan O'Connor uses his speed on the rush. All three Stars forwards, to put it in perspective, were deep in the Avs zone. And one thing the Stars really need to work on is preventing the Avs to have such quick clears. Because this is a perfect example where the Avs, very similar to what Winnipeg did against the Stars, it's almost like there's a book out. If you can, turn quick and go against this Dallas Stars team. So three forwards deep in the Avs zone. That allows the breakout. So O'Connell throws a pass over to Manson. Manson, the veteran, sees Devin Toews joining the rush. It was a defenseman to defenseman pass. No one picks up Devin Toews. He goes basically through the middle. Great pass by Manson. Coverage mistake leaves Toews wide open on the doorstep for the deflection. Nothing Ottinger could do. 3-1 at that point. Avs make it 4-1 on the empty net goal. Would have been a penalty on that play anyway. And then the Avs put it away with another goal. Probably the game was out of reach at that point anyway, and that's your final 5-1. So did the Stars probably play their best game in weeks? Yeah, I think so. But now you're playing an opponent that many think can go to the Stanley Cup final, just like you were at one point during the season. And kind of the issue is, like I said, it just felt as though the Avs made it look easier than the Stars did. But it's just one game. The track record clearly shows that the Stars come back from these game one deficits. So let's see what happens. Game two on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Day. All right, let's get to your tweets. We got a lot of them. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Trevor Harris at @tharris_18 says, hey Gavin, just pop one of your Frosties to change the mojo. What were your thoughts on the Avs goal that had a kicking motion, but it wasn't called in the first penalty on Mason Marchment? Keep it up. I did think that was a penalty on Mason Marchment. The stick was in between the feet. I thought it did trip him up. Even if it did miss, you know, it clearly looked like a trip. So I had it as that. I thought it was a legit penalty. And then as far as the kicking motion, Trevor, yeah, I mean, that is Pele-like what happened. I mean, it was like almost a bicycle kick. So yeah, no kicking motion there. I mean, remember, it's not just a kicking motion. It really needs to be an intentional kicking motion. And that was not intentional. And the replay clearly showed that. Just fluky. And how does a kick find its way over Ottinger's shoulder? I mean, just the perfect arch, but then it descends past, once it gets past Ottinger's shoulder, it's just fluky. Both goals were fluky tonight, unfortunately. As far as changing the mojo, we've waited a while. I actually think Trevor's right. If you're celebrating the Easter holiday, pop a Frosty along with me. Oh, that's 8 games delicious right there. Thank you, Trevor. I appreciate it. So hopefully that will be the slump buster and the Stars can get back at it. Rupert says, Mikko Rantanen was a complete non-factor in this game. Quite frankly, he hasn't looked anywhere near a $12 million player since the trade. I know it takes time, but he needs to get going if there's any chance of beating Colorado. Yeah, Mikko Rantanen did not have a great game. You want your elite players to be elite in those games. Clearly, you saw Nathan MacKinnon do that with 2 goals on the night. So you're right, Rupert. He does need to play better in this series. On a previous Spits and Suds podcast, I said the following. I am not going to fully judge Mikko Rantanen until next year because he's played in four different systems since January. It's been a long season. I'm not trying to make excuses, but I want to see Mikko Rantanen get a house in the area. I want to see Mikko Rantanen train in the offseason here after some time in his home country, I'm sure. I want Mikko Rantanen to go through a full training camp with the Dallas Stars. I want Mikko Rantanen to fully gel with his teammates. So I'm not going to like worry just yet, but yes, he does need to step up. You're absolutely right. He needs to play better. Your best players need to play better. Thomas Harley didn't play bad, but needs to be better. Matt Duchene needs to be better. So, I mean, all these players need to be better offensively. And like I said, they weren't bad, but you have to score more than one goal, especially against the Colorado Avalanche. Great tweet, Rupert. Really appreciate it. Aaron Thacker, Thackman. Hey, Thackman got to spend some time with him the other night. You the man, buddy. Another game one loss. Need to figure things out in a hurry. Robbie at Robvious. Doomsday reaction aside, this was their best game in months. Fingers crossed they can make this a long series. I think Pete DeBoer did say it right, Robbie, when he said, you know, we need to build on this. And I think it's right. I mean, you can't get down. You played pretty good. And yeah, you got to bounce back and you have to build on this momentum. Is Blackwood going to play this way throughout the whole series? Maybe, but he stood on his head tonight. And if you remember some of the Stars' previous opponents in the playoffs and, you know, played really well in game one, but eventually the Stars wore the goaltenders down. Okay, Brett the S-Man Fart says, I'm sick and tired of the impending feeling of doom while watching this team. The complete inability to take control for any significant time will do them in. Hope they bounce back Monday, but they've got to get desperate from puck drop. Yeah, they just have not played any sustainable dominant hockey in a game in a while, Brett. You are absolutely correct. They've had moments. You know, tonight was on a power play, but it shouldn't take a man down to have that kind of heavy cycle on a consistent basis. All right, our friend David Kokas says, should Pete DeBoer start playing Mikko, Rupi, and Wyatt more to help get the offense going? Yes, that would be the line that I would roll out. I would separate Wyatt Johnston from Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn is not Jamie Benn. I'm not going to play doomsday. Love me some captain. Love what he's done for this franchise. But as I was telling Gregory Finley prior to the game, if we're going to knock Joe Pavelski for his playoff performance and not playing down the stretch, we need to do the same if the captain does not improve his play. He has not been good since January. Carey Eddy. Weren't Binnington, St. Louis, and Hill, Vegas both playoff virgins when they beat the Stars, and didn't they both win the Cup? Playoff virgins. You know, I'm trying to think if Hill was a playoff virgin. But I know Binnington was, so you're correct there. So I do think you're right. I do think both were and both are now really solid goaltenders in the NHL. Nice pull, Carey. You deserve an assist on that. Kyle Bear, some fluky goals for the Avalanche tonight. Yeah, they got the bounces. They worked hard, and hard work creates the bounces. Remember, that MacKinnon goal, as fluky and knuckleball-ish and deflection off of Lyubushkin as it was created by a power play. So they created the chance to have the fluky goal. Our friend Husky says, very sad I won't be enjoying a Dr. Pepper tonight. Yeah, Husky brings up a good point. So Husky sent me his Frosties the other night, and I probably need to do a good job of explaining this. So when I say a Frosty, a Frosty does not have to be an alcoholic beverage. A Frosty can certainly be an alcoholic beverage, but we just enjoy Frosties here. So it can be a seltzer. It can be a water. Whatever you would like constitutes a Frosty on Spits and Suds. So I hope you get to pop that Dr. Pepper on Monday night, Husky. Let's see. He says, the Stars have absolutely learned nothing. Same mistakes being made by Dallas. Awful net front D. No sustained O pressure at 5-on-5. Can't stay out of the box. Leaving Jake out to dry, and fans will wrongfully blame the refs for the loss. Embarrassing. That's one thing that we do need to point out. Stars with 8 more penalty minutes. I mean, heck, the Avs had 6, but still, you need to stay out of the box, specifically against the top 10 Avalanche power play. With that kind of firepower, you know, if you can cut that down to 2 or 4, and I know it's tough, but you have to eliminate penalties, specifically a 5-on-3 and a double minor. That stuff will wear your team down. It also screws up your line changes, a lot of momentum changes during those periods. So, yeah, you got to eliminate those penalties. Noah Brown, well, they haven't won a series without winning a game one, so why start now? Amen, man. I'm raising my frosty for you. Those 2 fluky goals sucked. Maybe if they win game 2, we should have double the frosties. I'm trying to slump bust right now. I am trying. By having a frosty, it does not feel right. I'm going to be honest with you. It feels awkward. It feels uncomfortable. It feels like a first kiss. It just is not working for me drinking a frosty after this loss. But if they win, maybe Spitz and Suds had a little to do with it. Julio Gonzalez says, what's this? 8 straight losses. How do we overcome this? But I think we rebound and win Monday night, and we take it. All right, we're having a frosty, and we're trying to just think optimistically. Our friend Clint Dickinson says, bad puck luck and a double minor were the difference. This game was ripe for the picking. I thought it was super evenly tilted. Until then, we'll get it back. Puck don't lie. Keep those frosties cold until then. Yeah. And please send me pictures like Husky did of your Frosties, your beverage of choice. It can be a Dr. Pepper. It can be a water. Like I said, it could be anything. You know, we just enjoy this while we're having a nice cold one. All right. Thanks, Clint. Simon Cave, what visible Avs weaknesses can we exploit in addition to us getting some good bounces? Well, one thing that we do have to talk about is this is a much different Avalanche team, and you have to go to the depth. They are a better goaltending team, and they fixed that during the season. They weren't good to start the year, and they fixed it. So they're better goaltending. They are better defensively than they have been. That is a tight Avalanche system at times when it's working, and most importantly, they are so much better up the middle with the acquisitions of Nelson and the acquisition of Charlie Coyle, a veteran who's playing third line right now. That's a veteran up the middle in center. They're just better as far as team defense. So weaknesses, I personally feel as though you should go after their defense a little bit more. Use your, you know, not the fastest minus Makar. Manson's up there in years. Taves is not the fastest skater. Good skater, but not the fastest skater. I think you can exploit this Avs defense specifically in their zone. They have vets. Tire them out. That would be my advice. But don't get in a track meet with them. And that's something the Stars don't necessarily do, use physicality. So they kind of have to change their makeup to do that. All right. They were out hit tonight, by the way, and this is a deceiving stat. Probably shouldn't read it, but they were out hit 30-18 tonight, just to put it in perspective. Let's see. Our man Christopher DeHarty says the following, drink the Frosty to forget the game. Anyway, I am. Thank you. That was painful. Not much else to say. It stung, but don't we all think that the Stars actually played much better? All right. J Lux 007. Jeffrey says, yes, the losing streak continues, but honestly, the best game they've played in a while. Unlucky bounces. Blackwood was amazing. Need to see more passion and intensity. Let's go Stars, not losing faith. Yes. I agree with you, Jeffrey. Steven at Steady Rhythms. Differences were finishing and penalties. Not sure if you feel good going into game two, knowing it was close, score not indicative, or worried that you're not going to be able to compete that hard again or harder. Still got two more games to reasonably make this a series. Absolutely. Tie it up at one heading to Colorado. And even if you don't, the Stars were down 0-2 last year and they won. So it's okay. Otis Campbell, tonight was every Stars fan's biggest nightmare. I just don't think that way. I was watching the game and I felt as though they had some good moments. I thought Blackwood was the story of this game. And I thought that the Avs capitalized on their opportunities, whereas the Stars didn't. Belfour's Billions. While it's true that didn't look like a 5-1 game, it was still a 5-1 game. Stars really lack speed and that extra playoff desperation. What's the point where you wish Ben luck in his future endeavors? He looks so slow and outpaced. I don't know why, but it's uncomfortable for me to talk about Jamie Benn because it's been such a good career. But yeah, has to be better. I mean, the reality is, he's an all-time Dallas Star. We know that. But we did get on Joe Pavelski, as mentioned, when he really struggled. And Jamie Benn is struggling right now. He does look like he doesn't have that burst. He's just not hitting like he once did. So he's been struggling. He's been struggling to me since January. So the problem as far as future endeavors is the following. Jim Nill has said the quote, "As long as I'm here, Jamie Benn is here." And maybe, you know, that was prior to January. Maybe they sit down with Jamie and get the vet minimum possible. Maybe Jamie wants to go elsewhere to get more money and to go for the cup. But with his brother part of the organization, with his family now here, I think Jamie Benn wants to stay. I think if there is a deal, which I think the Stars will make, it needs to be low and it needs to be short term. Let's see how a year does. And Jamie Benn might not agree to that. But as of right now, I might go 1 year, $2.5 million. And that's probably low. Sam Green says, took two lucky bounces for the Avs to beat us. Sure, we came apart late, but the doom and gloom isn't so doom and gloom. We just need a little more fortune. We don't win game one. We just feel them out. We'll get there. AAC was buzzing tonight. Oh, great point, Sam. If you were at the game tonight, stick tap to you. That barn was terrific. Those fans were into it. And I know it was a game in which it wasn't like, oh my God, this is amazing. I mean, it was 0-0 after the first period. It was 2-0 after two periods. Not the most exciting hockey, but it is playoff hockey. So there were opportunities for the fans to get crazy, and they certainly did. Loved it. Absolutely loved it that fans went crazy after the 5-on-3 kill. I thought that was super cool. And the barn was rocking after Ropehan scored. Nothing beats playoff hockey. Whew. Brian Schofield, the day after the Dallas Stars win a game one, I'm buying a lotto ticket, all things considered. Could have been a lot worse game. Otter really only gives up a bicycle kick, a knuckle change, and a tap in. Yeah. I mean, that's a great point, Brian. That's, you know what? A lot of times, just to let you know, I don't read these tweets ahead of time. Probably should, just in case something else is in there. But Brian kind of sums up the game. A bicycle kick, a knuckle change, and a tap in. Just a weird night. Jordan Harper, Harper hockey fan. The inability to finish tonight was incredibly frustrating. I want Mason Marchman to go to the fourth line and move Maverick or another forward. They won't, but I actually want Jamie Benn to go to the fourth line. And you know what? Let's change it from Blackwood. Don't we want to see Colin Blackwell in there? I do. All right. Aaliyah. Can't say much because I missed most of the game for a friend's wedding. Hey, congratulations. But I am really concerned with our third periods and how we let them get out of control so fast. So, to the bride and groom, it's game one of the playoffs. You know Aaliyah's coming to your wedding. There has to be a TV that you can turn after the vows. I mean, come on. Give my girl Aaliyah what she needs so she could be on the dance floor ripping it up, right? And then at the same time, keeping that watchful eye over to the Stars game. Well, hopefully, no weddings on a Monday night, Aaliyah, so you can sit back, get that Frosty ready, and enjoy game two. Okay. Dylan Moreland says that the Stars were out of position on the breakout, giving Colorado the puck on the 5-1 goal. He's talking about Petrovic, send him back to Texas where he belongs. And he just sends another terrible pinch by Petrovic on the entry, led directly to Toews, unmarked on the 3-1 goal there. He did get back pretty quick, Dylan, for a bigger guy. But I'll just say this. I would like to see Matt. I found nothing wrong with Matt Dumba the last month. I mean, sure, there were errors here and there, but to me, it reminds me of Ryan Suter. And that's not necessarily the best thing, but didn't you think Suits was pretty good last year? I thought he actually on that third bearing played pretty well at times. And Dumba in the last month, I thought was okay. So to me, I wouldn't mind seeing Dumba in game two. Justin Hastings. I'm blaming Nico from the Dallas Mavericks for the downfall of the Dallas Stars season two. I can't blame you. Logan, nice meeting you at our 105.3 The Fan Draft 101 the other night. Let's have a big weekend from our Stars. Yeah. It was terrific meeting you as well, my friend. A few of you came up at that Draft 101 and wanted to talk hockey prior to the event. It was a great event, and I'm so glad to meet so many of you in person. We will have to do something like that, similar to that we do, like Draft 101. We'll have to do a gathering. We'll pick a place. We'll enjoy some Frosties. Maybe we can convince one of our boys, Tiffin or Shapiro or Castillo, to join us and just talk some good old hockey, share some Frosties, and enjoy. So, wow, terrific tweets. I don't know what the other version is, X's, should I say, but terrific X/Twitter interaction tonight. We'll be back after game number one, game number two on Monday night. If you're celebrating the Easter weekend, I hope it's a wonderful Sunday for you and your family. Thank you so much for supporting and listening to Spits and Suds. I said it the other day on the podcast, we are nothing without you. You guys are our teammates. That's why I love reading your tweets, because they're so good. So thank you. And if you have a chance, you can go on Apple, if you subscribe to Apple or you're Apple-based, and you can leave a review for Spits and Suds. We've had some new great reviews lately. And what that does is that helps us as far as pushing Spits and Suds towards the top as far as Dallas Stars podcast. So it really helps us. And I love the feedback as well. You can reach out to me anytime. Does not necessarily need to be after a game. At GJ Spittle. I try to follow you back as well. So if I do, you can direct message me and we can have a great conversation. Love talking to each and every one of you. So that's going to do it for us for now. For the greatness of our producer, Gregory Finley, who deserves a ton of credit for this program, I'm Gavin Spittle. Enjoy your Sunday, everyone. We'll be back on Monday night.